Today's guests are the incredible family behind Anthony's Road to Kindness, a movement born from one young boy's story and a mission to create more kindness, understanding, and acceptance for kids who experience the world differently. What started with Anthony has grown into something much bigger, bringing awareness to ADHD, bullying, inclusion, and the very real challenges so many kids and families face every day. Today, we're talking about Anthony's story, what inspired this movement, and what parents, coaches, and communities can do to better support kids who may not always fit into the mold, but have so much to offer. I'm really excited for this conversation. Welcome to the Think Lee podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Of course. To get things started here, I just want you to share with our listeners, for anyone that's just discovering the Anthony's Road to Kindness, and let us know, you know, what started this. Take us back to the beginning. Who is Anthony? How did this story grow into this much bigger mission around kindness, understanding, and acceptance?
Yeah. Well, Anthony was a wonderful little kid, and he was our fourth child and our only boy. We have three daughters too. And at the age of six or seven, we were blessed to have a second grade teacher that really raised up that we should probably have him assessed for ADHD. So Casey, just share that story about the teacher, because, you know, it's not often that teachers share with the parents that there's a challenge, because they have to watch. There's laws that they can't say kids have ADHD or may have ADHD, but we had someone who was aware of ADHD, and she brought this out to us. So we were blessed that she did.
Yeah. So it actually started in preschool.
Yeah.
And he was having trouble with his learning. And so because of that, he was having some frustrations. And so by the time he got to second grade, it was, you know, second grade into third grade is a big deal. It's a big leap. And he was having trouble with one of his papers. So he crumpled it up and threw it away. And this teacher went and got it. And she called us and she said, I think you need to come in and talk to me. And we're like, oh gosh, what happened now? You know, just like, you know, we didn't know if it was because he was a boy, you know, because all we had was girls. So we went in and she showed us the paper and, you know, and said, told us what happened. And on the back of it, he had drawn a great big frowny face. And at the bottom, he said, I hate me, at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
So at that point, at that point, we knew that we were just kind of going with the flow until then. But, you know, at that point, it was pretty obvious that we needed to get him some help and quickly.
Yeah. So we got him assessed and came back as being that he had ADHD, obviously, and because he couldn't sit still. He was moving all the time. But he also had what's called dysgraphia. So if you look at the D, there's obviously attention, and then there's the D is for disorders. And so it's sad that it's called disorders, first off, but he had what's called dysgraphia. Dysgraphia is like if I said Johnny ran across the street. Well, he could tell me who ran across the street, but he could never go from here to writing it down. Mm-hmm. And so we had to figure out how to teach him. People had to figure out how to teach him because it was not the same as everybody else. You know, that brain to the hand did not work smoothly. So that was a big challenge for him, and it was good for us to understand that, because we were thinking he couldn't learn, and then that was his challenge. That was a challenge that we had to overcome. So we got him we talked to the pediatrician, and really, you know, what's really sad is that when they give you the assessment, here's your assessment, they don't tell you what to do. You know, they don't guide you to the next steps.
Or they don't tell you what it is that you're going to be dealing with, yeah, you know, for the rest of your life.
And that's sad for anybody that's out there that has that's just going through the process. So what we went to talk to the pediatrician, and, you know, he suggested that we also get him a psychiatrist. And so we were lucky enough that we had a good friend of the family that we met with, and he was a psychiatrist, and he took on Anthony and took on us. So because we need a family, we need to understand this better. And he helped us through some of the challenges with that, and then we dealt with the one that I'm sure families deal with. We dealt with the medication question. Mm-hmm. You know, do we treat him with medication or not? And
yeah,
I was on one side, so I was traveling. I was buried in the work. I was a partner with Ernst & Young, and
I was doing Casey
was left to research this and go through all of it and figure out what are we going to do. And you know, how do we deal with this? And she was researching the medication thing. So I said, well, I'm going to research some of it too. But then she said, let's go talk to the pediatrician.
Right.
And that was a good decision.
And he went into the meeting with the pediatrician and he said, we are not putting him on medication. I don't care what he says. And I'm like, let's just talk to him and see what, you know, see what's happening. Cause we're not the experts, you know, he's more of one than we are. So what he told us was, that's fine. You don't have to put him on medication, but if you don't get him the help to focus now, when he is 13, 14, he's going to start self-medicating and then you're really going to have problems.
Yeah.
So Tony said,
okay.
Because that's what we're doing.
Because the thing that happens is that, you know, when kids that have ADHD, they have lower dopamine levels. And so the medications are stimulants, so they stimulate the dopamine and they help the child to focus. And they helped Anthony, they did. But like any other family, we had two or three or four different medications we went through until we found something that worked for him. And thank goodness the psychiatrist was patient and, you know, and he did it off of Anthony's weight and all this other stuff that you should really do. And that was a blessing because we had no clue. So, but we really saw our son go from, you know, a happy little boy and blue eyes, happy, want to love everybody, to being very depressed.
By second grade.
Yeah. And the self-esteem.
That was
sad for a little boy that just wanted to hug everybody. And he was our lover. He was our hugger and the family. So we did put him on medication and that was alleviated. But then I decided to change jobs because I couldn't have her. We were out kind of half an hour. We had him in Catholic school and she was driving half hour back and forth. And then the kids had all these activities like your kids have, you know, they have activities going on. And so I left that job and I took another job where I didn't have to travel as much. And it was great. And then I got him into martial arts because he was bullied. Like he was picked on and he was shorter and he was littler than all the other kids. And I said, well, let's go visit a martial art. So I really studied which martial arts studios we wanted to go and work with. And we just found one that was great. And I can still remember Adam, and Adam just loved kids. And he had a few kids that were doing martial arts too. So he embraced Anthony and we all did it. So I did it with him. Here I am in my 40s doing it with the kids and our youngest daughter, who was a gymnast. She also joined in. She wanted to do it. Our other two were continuing dance. So
I didn't.
So Casey decided not to do it. But I said, I'm going to do this with him because I want to understand. And plus,
they can protect me.
The other thing, which you may see too, and other parents may see, is that sometimes you just need to be there. So your child, if they have a meltdown, you just need to take them to the side. So I didn't know what to expect. So, but Adam was great with him. And so he really embraced it. And, you know, there were some mornings we had to go to Saturday class. There were some mornings that he didn't want to go. So I'd say to him, Anthony, she would say, go ahead, just take Gabriella and go. And so we'd leave. And she'd call me up sometimes and say, hey, he wants to go now. So I'd come back and pick him up and we'd be late for class. But he would, you know, and by 12 years old, though, he was a black belt. Yeah. So he was, and we'd practice all the time and he just embraced it. He had so much fun with it. And he would pick on his dad, you know, put the mitts on, and I say, when the mitts are down, you don't hit, but he'd still hit. So we'd have fun, and it was my time with him, you know. After, and we worked out all the time too. So, but then he continued to get bullied. I mean, which is sad, right? Mm-hmm. So he had three kids attack him in school one year.
In middle school.
And we talked about it. He wouldn't tell us who was doing it, and he didn't want it. We talked about not fighting, but when three kids attacked a little guy, you know, he knew what to do and he did fight back. And he took two kids out and he was accused though of the one fighting because of course the teachers just saw him fighting.
Right.
And
as with a lot of ADHD kids, they are the ones that get in trouble because the people that are tormenting them know how to not let any adult see it. And then when they defend themselves, then they're the ones that get in trouble. And that's why nobody wants to be their friends because they're always getting in trouble, you know, which is such a fallacy. It's just
sad.
It's sad. Very sad.
So, but we don't, I'm going to make sure we don't condone fighting. Okay. Just make sure we're clear on that. But you know, in this case, he didn't have a choice. And so we went into the vice principal and the principal and they were going to expel our son. And we said, you can expel our son. We'll take him out of school first because he knew better. He wouldn't fight unless he needed to. You should go back and talk to these kids that started this fight. And they did, and they admitted to it finally. So, you know, and after that, he started watching over all the other kids that were being bullied.
Yeah.
And he became, you know, a little champion for the kids that were out there, which is really cool. So
those that he was aware of.
Yeah, those that he was aware of. That were being bullied. You know, but he became a little social person. And so between martial arts and the help that we got him a tutor, and we got him, and they had special reading and math classes for him. And we took him out of Catholic school. We put him in the public school, which was probably a good choice for us too, because he had special attention. He had some other caregivers that were really great. And we got him a tutor who was like a second grandma to him or something, because she had ADHD, and she knew just how to watch over our son too. when he was trying to get out of something, she knew what to do. So we got him the help he needed. We had a psychiatrist, tutors, we got him in martial arts, we got him exercising, moving, and he got into soccer and lacrosse and other stuff. And he became a little, you know, really a cool little person.
He actually became a cool big person.
He did too.
Because he finally wasn't the shortest person in the family anymore. He outgrew all of us.
And the Italians aren't tall to start out with, but he grew. And the sad part about this was there's one thing that we couldn't figure out how to help him with was his impulsiveness. And the sad thing is that you don't put impulsiveness with people, with kids making bad decisions. And it's a bad decision. He made a bad decision one night, and one impulsive act, and we lost him. At 18, he had everything going for him. He was set to go to college, and we were talking about the schools that he was going to go to. I worked out with him that night. And
he was looking forward to the rest of his life.
Yeah, and it's just a sad and. We will never really know all the things that happened that night. He was in a relationship, and
it was late at night. He was off of his medication. Yeah. He had his phone in his room, you know, so he was communicating. And
the sad part for me is that I normally checked on the kids when they went to bed, but that night I didn't check on them. Mm-hmm. We miss him every day. When we had to give the eulogy, that was the hardest thing that I ever had to do, and we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we said that we made a vow that we would help families. We didn't know how at the time, but we didn't want any family to go through what we were challenged with. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know how to handle that. Our three girls were really touched, and I was mad, and you go through all the emotions. And so we retired. We left Pennsylvania, where our home was for 35 plus years, and we had a home here in North Carolina in Curie Beach. We came here, and that was a great decision, because not to put everything behind us, because it never goes behind you. But we needed some time to heal, and we needed to make sure our girls were okay, and we needed to make sure we were okay. Because we went through our own challenges. You know, I was going one path, and Casey was going another path, and luckily we had the help of a psychiatrist to help us. Again, that same psychiatrist to help guide us. Mm-hmm. And if it probably wasn't for him, I don't know, we wouldn't be together. So, but we worked through all of that. And then, believe it or not, I had a dream one night. Anthony doesn't come to us often in dreams, but he came to me and he said, "You got to do something, Dad. It's time to move. Move your start. Move." So we said, "What are we going to do?" So we started researching this thing called ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more better information 18 years later than we had when we started back, you know. And I started reaching out. And one thing we didn't have was an ADHD life coach.
We didn't have for him because we didn't even know.
Yeah. And so I got on the phone and so we went through the process. We got to set up a charity called Anthony's Way to Road to Kindness. And we started building it. And I said, before we really launch this baby, I want to make sure I got at least the right team to get started with. So we called David Gawork, who is the founder of the ADD Coach Academy. David trains more coaches. First you have to be a life coach, and then you go for this all the behavioral stuff and family coaching from the ADD Coach Academy. And he's a wonderful person. We have some podcasts out there with him on it, and he wasn't returning my calls. So one thing about, I'm a persistent person. So finally his daughter, who I reached out to, and I said, you know, can you please get me to talk to him? if he doesn't want to work with it, that's fine. But I really want to talk to him. So we did, and he fell in love with what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And we were building something that no one else had designed before. Casey came up with the word, but it's called a roadmap. You know, when kids get assessed, parents don't know what to do. We designed a roadmap for them to follow. And first off, they got to get the right assessment done. Because we hear today, like we've helped now in 2.5 years, we've helped over 100 families, 110 families actually, get the right care. And initially we were just, referring them to the people we built. So coaching was one of those things. But then we brought on an ADHD, a psychologist who does ADHD assessments. She does great assessments, and she really targets what the kids need help with. And she gives them guidance afterwards, which no family was getting back years ago. So we really appreciated that. And she's done a number of assessments for kids that really had no guidance from and maybe, they walked into a pediatrician and they were said, well, we think you have ADHD and we're just going to give you some medication. Well, that's not the way to assess a child right today. So she's great. And then we have David who handles the coaching side of this. And then we brought on, part of the other challenge here is this education advocacy in schools. Mm-hmm. Schools don't know how to deal with kids. And I don't know if you've faced that with your children or your child or Cal. And, but they really need to figure out how to work with a child who has a different brain.
Yeah.
You could write all the 504s you want or IEPs, but teachers need to be trained
it's
on.
It's not any good if they don't follow it.
Yeah. And so what we're finding is that a lot of parents are pulling their kids out because they're not getting the help they need and they're doing homeschooling.
Yeah.
And that's sad in the public school system because, public schools are there. They have educators. They have all the right people. They have all the right teachers. They're trained on all this stuff. And so we brought an education advocacy group that is actually out of Philadelphia. And she does special education inclusion work for kids. And she's great. She knows all the laws. And mm-hmm. So for 504s and IEPs, we have her to rely on now as part of this group that we built. And then we brought in a tutoring organization out of Hershey, PA. It's all virtual. And we also found some tutors that are locally because depending on how, a lot of stuff is done by Zoom or, Microsoft Teams and stuff. A lot of kids can't handle the sensory stuff from this. So we also identified a tutoring group here in North Carolina that can help. Mm-hmm. And she's awesome. And so that piece is important because math and English are the two that you're either hyperly focused and you're good at math and
really
English.
Really good at it or really bad at it.
Yeah. And yeah, or you need help in both, or maybe one, it might be very math intensive and you could hyper focus on math because your brain works that way. So the point is that every child is different. Every assessment is different. And you have to look at the whole child to really understand what they need. Mm-hmm. And unless, and hopefully parents listen out there, you have to really know that because you can't treat your child the same way as everybody else that might have ADHD. You have to look at them all differently.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think too, one of the awesome things that you all do, and the way I explain it to the families that we work with as well, is build up their support system as strongly as it can be.
Right. Right.
Like I always use the phrase, like, how do we make, like, if we're boxers, right? How do we make our corner the strongest that it can be?
That's right.
Right.
And to me, that seems what you all are focused on.
Yeah. Yeah. You need support. Child, not only the child, but the whole family needs support. Yeah. And to your point, because ADHD, if one child has ADHD, it impacts the whole family. Because they're no one knows how to deal with it, and it's hereditary. It's passed down from one, so one parent has it. Yep. And we had to figure that out. Because Anthony was with three girls. Anthony was a real pain sometimes. So
he was a real pain. So he was kind. But he was kind.
But he just he
was a boy.
He would nub his sisters in certain ways that and they had to learn that and families today they may have one or two children that have ADHD and. So
Gabriella would always say, why don't you don't discipline him the same way that you did? Why don't you take away his stuff? Why don't you do this? Like when we were disciplining him and we're like, we can't discipline him the same way. you know.
He's already impacted himself, right?
So a lot of times the other kids don't understand why there's such a difference, you know, and by getting the whole family involved in it, that helps everybody understand what everybody's going through.
It's not always fair, in their words, right?
It's not always fair.
I could hear the echoing now. It's not fair, Mom and Dad. Why are you doing so? No, but so you got to look at this. And then we said, okay, the one thing that we worked on and we had challenges with is that if they're on stimulant medication, unless you get them protein or something in the morning, they don't eat all day.
Yeah.
So we got to get them the right nutrition. And so we brought on a top-notch nutritionist, and she's registered, and she's awesome here. She's in Wilmington, but she could go state by state. She can handle all the families that need help and the kids that need help. And it's a whole family view, though, because, mm-hmm. you know, how a family eats, the children will eat. You know, you pass it all down. So, and thank goodness for Casey, because talk about regular meals. She knew exactly how regular meals would be. She built meals off of what we all needed.
Yeah.
I'm a protein fanatic, and I'm a, you know, I want to get the kids all the right stuff that they need. So
that was my job.
Yeah, that was. And so we continued that, but exercise is really important, and that's why martial arts and working out and doing soccer. We want to give kids the opportunities to try different activities that can't afford, like dance classes, or, you know, I mean, we hear about all the special classes today, and, you know, the exercise class, and they're so expensive for families, and so we give them the opportunity, and that's why we're so excited, because we're teaming with you folks. Because you do the sports side. I can put an exercise program together. I'm a master trainer, and I can put exercise programs, a black belt in martial arts. I can put all that stuff together. And for the child and for the, you know, but what you could do is really special too. And we're so excited that we're partnering with you folks, because you bring a whole nother mix to this that the athlete, you know, and we want kids to move.
Yeah.
We don't want them to sit here and be on you know, on internet or on the playing the Roblox or mm-hmm. all the other games that are out there, because that's just not bad for them either.
They could do that all day if it was up to them.
Yeah. Right.
They absolutely
exactly.
would.
You know, and that's where the arguments start. But we have screen time is, we want to minimize the screen time and we want to get them moving, you know, and that's important. So that's why, you know, we're great. We team with you folks, and we can bring a lot of really great stuff to these kids and families. Yeah. And then we said as they hit 13 and 14, they really need some social skills training.
Oh, yeah.
And we brought Dale Carnegie on, because, you know, a lot of people might not be familiar with Dale Carnegie, but they're the number one training organization out there in the world for social skills, for confidence, for leadership, you know, and they do. And we brought on a group from Raleigh, and he's excellent. He has ADHD, and his kids that have ADHD. So he really understands what kids need. And he developed a program for schools that, be the kind of person others want to know. And he takes that to schools, and he builds in the Dale Carnegie principles in a cool way. And all the kids start talking, and kids that might be reserved start to build confidence. And it's just a cool process. And he's, you know, he's a wonderful person too. So, and then we brought in a college prep service, because if you give a child that has ADHD, the SATs to look at, what the hell was Anthony?
Yeah.
What was Anthony with the SATs? He didn't want to even touch them. He said, Mom and Dad, I'll never go to school.
I'm never going to go to college because I can't even get through this, you know. And of course, his scores weren't very good. So
who did we get him? We got him help, Donna, right?
Yeah. So a friend of mine was running a pilot project, and she's an educator, and she was starting this college prep service, which was perfect timing for us. Yeah. So she actually did help him with his applications and with his essays and all of that stuff. And the best thing that she does is she identifies colleges that are going to be good for the kids.
Yeah.
Not, you know, because just because a child wants to go to a Ivy League college doesn't mean that that is going to be a good fit for them. You know, so she finds the colleges that will be good fits for the kids. And I think that is that
benefit, total benefit.
Yeah, that's immeasurable.
Yeah.
So he ended up getting into seven colleges and got scholarships from four.
Yeah. And he was going to go study. So in his senior year, he came to me And I was really touched. He came to me and he said, "Dad, let's do a project together." So, Derek, if your son comes to you and says, "Let's do a project together," what are you going to say?
Absolutely.
Yeah, let's do it. So he wanted, he loved cars. So, but he had a little motive there too. I know he had a motive. He says, let's get a car that we could fix up, Dad. And he said, this will be my final school project. And it'll be something I could put on my, you know, resume and stuff for cause. Cause he wanted, you know, he ultimately went to Northwood. He was going to go to Northwood University and study automotive marketing and management and become a dealer. And you know, he was going to become a car dealer. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to deal cars and motorcycles. He loved cars and motorcycles, anything fast. So we found this beat up BMW 1989 red, beat up BMW. Somebody jumped on the hoods. I think an elderly gentleman had it. Fender was pushed in. The door was dented in. And we got it for like $1,000 or something. And we started working on it. And I'm not mechanical.
He's not mechanical.
So Anthony was telling me what to do. And we spent a lot of time building and refurbishing this car. We raised it up. We lowered it. We raised it up first. We lowered it. We put new shocks on, put new tires on. We cleaned the inside. Made it immaculate. Cleaned the whole engine. Got a new exhaust and made it really super cool. And we were just about to bring it to get painted when we lost them. So I finished it and I have it here in our garage here. And, but parents, you know, dads, you play a role. And I say, you got to be involved with your kids. And if you're not, get involved.
Yeah. So, and I think too, like dads need to be open-minded to
do
things as well. Right. Like,
yeah.
Activities to find new interests that your children might love that you haven't, yeah. Maybe you didn't do as a kid,
or right?
But as oh, that's
so not
something I would ever want to get interested in. Yeah. But next thing you know, your kid has the opportunity to pursue that, and then they actually genuinely love it and enjoy it. And then yeah. There's so much good and confidence you can build around that, and obviously and experiences you. That you can have. Then yeah. Yes, with your kids, like that's something that I think. Is
so important.
Yeah, but unfortunately on the flip side of that is still so much out there too where people are more closed-minded or whatever
word forcing one use. Thing.
Yeah, and right. And it's just, yeah. It's tough to adapt based upon what your kid needs when you're yeah. Still trying to push upon them what you think you
or what you want.
That's right. Right. And so we did a Father's Day podcast for on our channel. So if you're interested, please go listen to it because we talk about dads play an important role. And you do have to be open-minded. You got it. But also, kids know when you're not engaged with them.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And they needed dad. Mom, you know, Casey was great. I mean, I God bless having her because she was his advocate, and she put the fisticuffs on. Like I put the fisticuffs on to play to do martial arts and stuff with him. But she would take care of the school side of this. And the really cool part was that, you know. We have fun in the summer. We create special events. We call it the Belezo Olympics, and we have kids involved and just doing fun stuff. So, but dads, you need to be involved with your kids, and you need to be open minded to new things. One thing I can't sing. All right, I have a terrible voice. Casey can sing though, and Anthony had an angelic voice, but he would only sing with his mom.
Oh.
So what I did when he came to me, it was his idea. He came to me and he said, "Mom's turning 50. I want to sing a song for her." And I said, "Okay." And I said, "Well, I'll set up the studio. What do you want to sing?" He says, "Bruno Mars, Just the Way You Are." We have that. We still have that tape. He sang it and you'll appreciate this. He said, "Dad, I'm going in. I'm doing one time, one take, and that's it." However, it comes out. Well, it came out spectacular. It was wonderful. And so we have that to remember. But you know, if you had a kid to me and said, "I want to sing," I said, "Go to mom." You know, so you really play off. You know, your parents, you guys have special talents, and every parent has special talents too. And you know, if your kids want to do singing or acting, you got to embrace that, even though you might not have done it. Yeah. Take it on. So we put this all together. And one last piece was. We need to bring in therapists when they're needed. Mm-hmm. And they have to be the right therapist, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot of groups out there that are, you know, like they treat everybody the same. Mm-hmm. Every child's the same. Well, we brought on a group from Charlotte, North Carolina, child and family development, and a neuropsychologist who's just awesome. And they do special therapies with the kids. And she's helped so many kids. And their practice does 1,700 children a month. 100 practitioners, five-star reviews all over the place. Just wonderful stuff. So what we did is we put this, and I'll use cases, we put this roadmap together. Parents come to us. We have all the markings, all the people that they need to go to help whatever issues or challenges that they might have, and whatever strengths they might have, we want to capitalize on those with all the people we have. And we always start with an ADHD life coach. That's number one, because the coach is the quarterback in our model. And that's our model, the model everybody I brought. The coach, the quarterback is, they identify what else the child might need help with or want to do. And then they call, you know, if they need tutoring. They got a tutoring organization right at their beck and call that they make one phone call and they got a tutor to help the family and the child, right? So it's really cool because there's nothing out there. Everybody, all of these groups are siloed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, now they're not. We're the only nonprofit and the only for-profit that I don't even think there's a for-profit out there that's put all this together in a roadmap that we now bring to families that need help.
Yes.
And what's really cool, you folks are part of this. We have a summit coming up July 30th, Thursday, July 30th. And all of our caregivers are going to have an opportunity to talk mm-hmm. and share why they're important in our process. And then we're going to bring on some special speakers after that. And we got a great keynote speaker who, you know, helped herself really to really find.
Her mom was a big help.
Mom was a big help.
She was an educator.
So like you always need support and she'll be the keynote speaker. And so we got some great people. And meditation is one other thing that is really important in this. And we identified a wonderful child meditation expert. She's going to speak at the summit too. And she's going to take everybody through a little meditation. And I think we'll all. She did it for one of our podcasts. And I think I fell asleep almost.
I think you did.
So, yeah. And I meditate every day. I'm a big believer in meditation. So you know, hope people come and join us. I know you folks will be there. And we're excited to have you. And, you know, we're just excited to have a group that we put together that is so passionate about helping kids. Sure. You know, I mean, one-stop shop for whatever somebody might need.
Yeah. So can you just explain a little bit more? So if somebody, you know, is listening to this and they have a child who has ADHD and they don't know where to start, do they reach out to you? You set them up with the ADHD life coach and then you go from there. Can you explain like how that works?
So the process is, please reach out to us. Contact at anthonysroadtokindness.com. Mm-hmm. And either Casey or I'll take them through an intake session, our intake session. It's not medical. It's just, hey, tell us about the family. Tell us about the child. Tell us about the family. What are the things you're seeing? Yep. And what might you need help with? And a lot of times families have already, you know, had their child in one or two therapy sessions and also had them, you know, with medications and stuff. So what we do is we say, well, let's start with an ADHD life coach. So mm-hmm. I then, based on what the family dialogue is and what's going on, we have a list of coaches that have all different skills. Like we have one coach that works with kids from 6 to 12. Mm-hmm. That's her specialty. Mm-hmm. So we go to her, and if she can't take them on, she knows other coaches that can work with them. Mm-hmm. Another coach takes on 13 and above. So then we go to her and say, well, can you handle them? And then we've identified about 10 or 12 really top-notch coaches today that we can pull up and we refer. So next step is the family does a call with the coaches. So maybe one or two coaches to make sure it's a good fit. Obviously, not every, you know, the charisma and the atmosphere needs to be right between the coach and the family. And I can tell you that we haven't had one that isn't right yet, because if we do our job right, we're getting the right coach for them to start out with.
The nice thing is a lot of the coaches are parents who have children with ADHD, which is why they got started being an ADHD life coach. So they have big hearts and they have a lot of tools and they've all been vetted. which was very important to us, was not just to, you know, just to take anybody that said that they were an ADHD coach.
Yeah.
So
David DeWork and Carol McGuire. Carol McGuire handles the family part of this, because you have to be trained in family coaching, because it's the whole family that you're gonna coach, the whole family, parents, mom and dad, all right, have to be tied in. So they do the call, and if we get a thumbs up, green light, then they start the process. And what we do is, if we have the money available, and right now, folks, we have grants available. We give them give the family an application. They fill it out, and everything's based on income. And we anybody who calls us, we really want to be able to help. So and then we get a grant set up, and that's primarily for a coach. And the coach comes in and does a major intake process, their intake process, what they've been trained on. And they identify the strengths, and they have a character strength process called the VIA, character strength, that they take every child through. And it's really cool. It's 24 items, and they find out what are the strengths on the child, and you know, what might they need help with. And it's a cool process to go through. And then from there, they say, well, what else? And if there's a tutor that they might need, they might call us and say, hey, you know, let's get connected with a tutor. We get the tutor tied in. So it all starts with the coach. Now, if a family hasn't been assessed, but they think their child might have ADHD, mm-hmm. We get them assessed. And here in North Carolina, we have our psychologist who does assessments. But again, psychology today has a list of the top psychologists and psychiatrists that we can reach out to across the country to help with assessments. And it's really cool. And then we reach out to our major therapist, neuropsychologist, who helps us in that regard. So we can cover all bases that way. And then from there, it takes off. And
depending on what they need, because they don't all need all of the services that we offer. So just based on what their needs are. And plus, I mean, we have a lot of people that we are connected with, and you know, there's no way that we're going to connect them right away with all of these people. You know, it takes some time to build up with that. As we know, all of these things take time. And sometimes you don't have a lot of time, and that can be very frustrating.
But, what's really cool, though, is out of all the families that we've helped in 2+ years, I've not gotten a call back that something's not right. So that really sends a great message for coaching. You know, for how we do what we do too. So, I hope we never miss something, but you know, I mean, we try to do our best too, just her and I. So her and I are the main people for the charity. And then we have a group of advisors, and that's how we run and administer this. We cover all the costs to administer the charity.
Right.
So, you know, where your dollar's going, directly to give to the care of a child. And that's
100%.
We take care of all the extra costs. So.
That's awesome.
Can I ask a question? Maybe it's a more personal question, but I think it's something that I'm actually very, very curious about. So, you know, we work with a lot of people that, you know, ADHD people are generally more pessimistic thinkers and have more negative self-talk in their minds. And you know, when you started talking, Anthony, something that really stuck with me with Anthony's story. Is it seemed like there was some more, like he had kind of a lot of negative thoughts
initially. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
My question, because I think that's something that Aleka and I experienced with our son as well. It's like, we try to encourage as much as we can, find the smallest things to build him up with and make sure that we're not missing, so that he knows we saw this, you know, something they did very well, and that we can help him grow confidence. But there's still that fine line of him being very, very hard on himself, keeping his expectations, maybe making them unrealistic. And then obviously that's tied to perfectionism. Mm-hmm. But all of that, when those expectations are not met in his mind, he then becomes a negative self-talker. When he makes a mistake, he's obviously really hard on himself.
That's the worst.
And so for us, it's one of those things that we try to really, you know, keep our finger on, right, as he gets older. You know, what would you say to listeners, and quite frankly to us, of ways to continue to help, you know, gain more positive self-talk?
Yep. Yeah. It's really, that's where the coach comes in too. coaches can help change the mindset. It's a mindset thing. And, you know, yeah, we continued to build Anthony up over the years. Yeah.
Focus a lot on the positives.
Yeah, what you're doing. I mean, you know? And families like martial arts, you know, when he would get a belt, continue bigger, when he break the wood, you know, the first time around. And I mean, those were all positive, but yeah, there was negatives too. And you gotta shelter the negatives, put them in a little box and bring out all the positives. Got to keep on bringing them back to thinking about, hey, you know, you did really, you know, think about the base hit you had today that, you know, instead of where you struck out, you know, because and so I got to tell you though, that when Anthony would do something that was not right, if he would beat himself up more than we could ever, you can't discipline the ADHD out of a child.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we wouldn't get upset with him.
We couldn't discipline him at all because he had already come down so hard on himself. You know, we weren't going to beat him up even more.
But Casey and I, we would sit down and say, well, what were you thinking at this moment? Just bring us to that moment. Yeah. And then we'd bring it out of him and say, okay, so the cool part about the coaching side is that they teach you to breathe, how to breathe the right way, how to pause. How to take a breath back, and you know, and that's all tied into meditation. Some of these other tools, there are tools out there to help keep the brain working the right way and going down the right path. The last thing you want to do, families, is really have your child go down that spiral of negative, negative, negative. You have to cut it off. Mm-hmm. And as parents, you need to be close to your child. You need to cut it off. You know, impulsiveness though is one thing that we wish we had an ADHD coach, because the tools that they teach for impulsiveness and what kids do, so they don't, you know, spaz out at a game or Anthony, if he missed a kick or he got hit in sparring, you know, that he wouldn't get all upset with himself, go down a bad way. But
so here's the thing. I forgot what I was going to say.
You got it.
Perfect. We were Anthony's parents, but we are not experts in ADHD by any means. And there aren't many parents that are experts at handling a child with ADHD. And so that's why we have the people that we have and that we wish that we had when he was small. Because then as a parent, when your child is going down, you know, is not feeling great about themselves, you know, we put a lot of blame on ourselves too. That's the worst thing that we can do, because, you know, we're all doing the best that we can. Yeah. And you know, just like anything else, you know, when you have an injury, you know, you have to go to a doctor or a specialist. Same holds true for, you know, for ADHD, because it's such a specialty and because each child is different in their ADHD and their needs and their skills. It really takes a hands-on approach. It really has to take a hands-on approach to figure out what that is making that child tick.
You know, Derek, the one thing that we find, and you probably do this in your, Derek, and I'll do this in your, what you do, is that you have to get your child to trust you.
Yeah. Okay.
And to trust you to open up to you. What the coaches do especially well is they get that trust built. Yeah. Because they want that phone call when there's a negative thing, or they want, you know, that coach becomes a friend. I'll call it a friend, but a guide, a mentor, you know, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And they really, you know, they reach out to them when there's something that might not be right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and Anthony reached out to us, and we're sad that he didn't reach out to us that night that we lost him.
Yeah.
And we don't know what we did, you know, why he didn't come down and talk to us like he normally did. But, you know, you just got to keep going and keep doing what you're doing. And try to overfill the negative with positive stuff and keep on the focus on the strengths that the child has, because they do their
and what all, they love to do.
All kids have talents and passions, and we want to keep that really strong in their mind, and that's where all the team comes in. Everybody's speaking the same language in our team that we built, and you folks speak the same language about that too. So. Does that help?
I mean, that's what you say about speaking the same language. I mean, that's, you know, with the families that we work with, obviously we are, you know, what I always say is, you know, sports is like 20% of this whole pie chart, right? And everything that we're doing, we're trying to help help them carry over in everyday life and, mm-hmm. you know, school and socially and leadership development and things like that. But, you know, the thing that I just kind of always go back to, I just lost my train of thought too, because my kid just ran outside in his underwear.
Welcome to ADHD.
Actually, our other child, he has a cape on as Captain, what is it, Underpants?
The series.
Captain Anthony Underpants. Loved Captain Underpants.
That's him today. So anyway.
No, but our thing is always, you know, if there's more people that can speak the same language that we are speaking to help with those reminders, right? Whether it's, hey, we're working with the family and we're using verbiage and we're using scenarios. Well, how cool would it be if the teachers, if they're able to communicate
everybody.
With the teachers, hey, here's what, you know, here's what Joey is doing with Derek and Aleka and Thinkley. And now the teacher is able to kind of speak a similar language and it kind of all comes together and those habits are being created more consistently. And the other thing I would say too is, you know, I couldn't agree more with everything that you're saying, right? It's just ultimately about finding out what these people love to do.
Right.
What are they ready for in time all the time to go to?
Right.
Instead of you trying to drag them to their practices or to their game.
That doesn't work.
What are they excited about? Whatever gets them excited, like let's build off of that. Let's grow their confidence with that. Like one of the questions I always ask our families that we work with when we do our initial, I won't call it an intake phone call, but we do our initial information gathering phone call. I guess I'd say, talk to them a little bit more about our program. I literally ask the question, tell me what they do well. Because for the first 10 minutes of the conversation, they're going to rattle off all of these things that are not good, all right. these things they struggle with, all the difficulties they have in school with their social interactions and their peers, right? So then my question is always, tell me what they do well. Because whatever they do well is what we're going to build off of. That's what we're going to feel really good about. That's going to give them the confidence, right? So, you know.
And a lot of parents also tell us that their kids don't communicate or open up to them the way they want. Right. Yep. They hold it in. Right. And you may be doing everything you can as a parent to allow the communication channels to be open. But sometimes kids just like to hold it in. So getting support and help.
Absolutely.
Because
they will talk to a coach or mentor before they tell a family what's going on. And that's where that trust factor comes in. But eventually they will. Yep. You know, Anthony opened up to us a lot. But I mean, and you want to get relevant. You know, he has ADHD and she opened up too as she got older, but she was assessed a little later in life. But, you know, as you look at this thing, you really gotta get to a point where you have a bunch of supporters all speaking the same language.
I think that's what helped Anthony the most was he had a team of people who loved him and thought that he was absolutely the most wonderful thing on the face of the earth. It wasn't just his parents, you know, because as he said to us, you know, well, you're my parents. You have to say that, you know. But he had other things. And then as he gained confidence, then, you know, things just went better for him and he became the social director of his friend group.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
And as you mentioned, as parents, nobody is, or we're not experts in ADHD, right?
No,
we're not.
We are all just trying to help as many families and people as we can. Like you all are doing that with your organization. We're doing that with ours. You know, I literally earlier today spoke with a family and the father is actually a very big time college football coach at a pretty prominent Division I level program in Texas. And this gentleman is saying to me that with all of, you know, his athletic accomplishments and his background and knowledge he has to offer, he doesn't understand how to get information across to his son who has ADHD, right? But then same time, his son is not taking it from his father the way he would from somebody who he's more unfamiliar with or who understands or can resonate differently. So with what you're doing and what we're doing, that's how we're helping, right? We're essentially like, we're trying to support the parents and be an extension of their voices, right? Help resonate with the children and the athletes in a different way.
Absolutely.
And we like the parents to know that, you know, we're there for them. You know, we're walking with them on their journey.
Yeah.
Make sure that they have the best life that they can have.
So the point is that it takes a full team to make this thing work for a child. You got to get the right team, the right caring team, and as we as a charity, we built that whole team out. So, if we're missing something, we know where to go to find it.
The one thing that we never did think of was the coaching aspect in sports.
So important.
I think that you guys are doing that is just fabulous because you are a specialist in that field.
Yeah.
You know, you know more about coaching and all of that stuff in sports than we do. And you know, a lot of times the coaches don't understand the ADHD kids and the ADHD kids suffer because of it, because they're shamed. And that was another thing I wanted to say. Not only a lot of times the kids won't come and talk to you because they've had so much negative all day long from school, from peers, you know, from other people about, you know, all the not good things that they're doing or whatever, just all the negative things that they're doing. It's perceived that they're doing, that they just don't want to talk about. They just don't want to talk anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they're just, then they just bottle it up.
They're spent.
They are spent. You're right.
And I think too, you know, your organization, our organization, Nick, we totally can help from a coach's perspective.
Yeah.
You know, just give you a quick little example. Last week, Aleka posted something on our social media page that got like 3 million views.
Nice.
But here's the thing. It was about coaching. It was about us basically, you know, calling out the coaches that are not capable of doing all the things that
we're
the ones that are quick to label athletes as uncoachable or, you know, they can't control their emotions. They can't help us. Like, I can't coach them. They shouldn't be on my team. Like, all the negative things that you get from a coach that has no idea what they're doing.
Right.
So we basically posed that, right? And we put that out there. And, you know, although, yes, it got a lot of views, obviously, and you know, continued the conversation that's probably already being had throughout the country and world, the comments were so negative.
Yeah.
So mean, so ignorant, so insensitive. And just like, that's what half or the majority of coaches.
Say half of them are negative and mean and saying.
Yeah. Or parents, right, are perceiving this type of an athlete. But the thing that's so interesting to me is that this athlete, right, in this situation, it was our son, like this athlete is so much more athletic and has so much more potential than theirs probably does.
Yeah.
If we continue to work on the mental aspect, right?
Right.
And the inability for somebody to say they don't want to work on that or label him so quickly instead of trying to bring out his best qualities, which, oh, by the way, will probably help your team win even more. It was mind blowing.
Well, they're the ones that want to discipline it away. You know, the ones
Can't. You can't discipline ADHD out of a child. You just can't do it.
You can't yell at them. You can't yell at them for making a mistake. They already beat himself up enough. And the idea is that if they don't, so here's my belief. Look, if it doesn't resonate with a coach, then move on to the ones that it does resonate with until you can change those thinking.
Yeah.
If you can't change the thinking, you know,
it's not too late to learn.
Yeah. You may be wasting your breath on a lot of people that don't want to listen. And, you can, and, you know, I'm a believer that look, and I want dads more involved. So, but I hear a lot that they don't have any time. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're not involved, you're missing out on a huge opportunity to spend time with your child and they need you.
Yep.
And moms, you are wonderful for your child, but your child needs your dad. And dads who coach, you need to understand that just because you're coaching, you may coach your child's team, right? A lot of coaches coach their child's team. You know, you got to be willing to work with the whole team and understand the
you
whole
have
team.
You have to have some patience and dynamics. Understanding.
Yeah, yep. And it's just
and not quick to judgment.
Yeah,
and that's what Anthony's he loved he found lacrosse. He loved lacrosse. He played every sport, you know, up until then, and then he found lacrosse and he loved it. So he wanted to go out for the lacrosse team at school, at his high school. I think he was a freshman, and So he went and he tried out, you know, went to the practices and went to the tryouts and everything. And they had 43 kids come out and they took 42 kids. And Anthony was the one that they didn't take. And I went and talked to the coach and I'm like, what happened? You know, and he's like, well, we only have 42 jerseys. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll buy a jersey. You're not going to just cut one child from the team. I mean, you have any idea what this is going to do to him, you know? He's like, no, we can't do that. And I said, just let him sit on the bench then. Let him be a manager. Let him do something just to be part of the team. And he's like, yeah, no, we're just not going to do that.
So they didn't want to listen. So what we did is we got him into the rec leagues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And he loved it. He had fun. He had more fun there.
And he just wanted to have fun, really. Yeah, he was not the greatest athlete by any means. Yeah. But he just wanted to play. He just wanted to have fun. You know, and a lot of times if we just let them have fun learning, you know, that's how they learn because they're having fun doing it. Not when they're you know, under somebody's thumb and not having a good time.
One thing you got to remember is that as a dad, you can't give your son pressure either. I didn't put pressure on Anthony to be the lacrosse star or to be the martial arts person. What they embrace is what you have to follow, you know, and that's really what the message is. So your point of what they find their passions and whatever path that leads you down, go with it. Mm-hmm. Cause that'll be the path. That's the best path. The least resistance path out of all the stuff you can do for your child. So
I totally agree. And when you're finding a coach, the two things to look for, in my opinion, do they have situational awareness?
Yes.
And are they open-minded?
Yes.
How do you know if they have situational awareness though?
They can read the room, right? They have the ability to understand that your athlete, right, needs to be communicated with a little bit differently. They're taking initiative to speak with the parent,
right?
They're trying to get to know the whole picture. What have you done so far? What's gone well? What hasn't before you've got?
They're going over to the child rather than ignoring the child during practice. You know what I'm saying?
And what percentage of coaches do you think do that?
Not enough.
So you do the same. You do the same thing. Like, so when a family tells me their son or daughter might be interested in martial arts, I call the school up. I call them up and I want to understand their culture, and I want to understand that, hey, have you worked with kids that have ADHD before, and do you know what to do if there is a meltdown? Because those are specific questions that I want to know. And if they don't know how to deal with it, I say that's not the right school for them. And we did the same thing when I did, and I've done that now for, I don't know, 40 families to get them into martial arts. And everyone I get a picture from saying, hey, watch, my son's having a blast. He's kicking breaking the wood and he's smiling and just having fun with it. And I said, because he's at the right school.
The dojos love us.
Yeah.
They're getting so much business.
They love us. And the ones that are really good love us even more. But I won't send them to somewhere where it's not the right environment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you're looking for too when they're coaching. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that was a wonderful conversation. Thank you guys so much for being here. For those of those listeners that want to attend the free summit on July 30th, we will link in our podcast, our show notes, and also any social media and on our website.
Yeah.
And they can also visit your website as well, which we'll link to as well. Guys, if you want to learn more about or get some resources for your ADHD children, please join the summit. You're going to learn a ton. It's an all day thing, no cost. If anything, just, you know, join for a morning if you can or something, because it's such an amazing thing that you guys are doing and what you offer.
So if you register, you'll get the videos and stuff. They'll all be posted and you'll get a link to them all. So, you know, if you don't register, that doesn't mean you don't get access, but it'll come out on our podcast channel, The Way Forward, A Kindness Mission, later. But you'll get access right up front if you register. So please register.
Awesome.
And real quick before we go, can you tell us about the donation opportunities as well?
Yeah. So we're going to hear more about it during the summit. But we've done a lot. And we're blessed. We feel blessed with all the people who have donated to us over the past 2+ years. Now we're at a point where we've done the grant writing stuff, and so we thought we'd make it easy. Our Orange Heart is behind us, and when we go out to do events, we take Orange Hearts with us, and people can write kind notes on them. So what we did is we turned this heart into a virtual Orange Heart. and it's on hearts.anthonysroadtokindness.com. And you, all we're asking is people donate $5, just $5 to help. And we want to do, we want to do a million orange hearts for $5 a heart. Obviously, we want to raise $5 million to help kids. And it comes right, every dollar goes back to the child. So, you know, forgo the Starbucks coffee that's actually $7, I think, now for one. And just donate $5 to us. And that's all we ask. And you could write something kind on the heart. You could offer it up. You could put a blessing on there for someone. You can do whatever you need to do. And you can share it on your social media. But that's it. Just $5. And you'll help a child.
Get expert care that they absolutely need.
So thank you, Alec.
Perfect. Yeah. Thank you guys both.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.